Okay, well, why don't we talk about a couple of your other cases? Maybe we can talk about your 46-year-old lady with EGFR mutant disease.
Sure. So this is a patient who was diagnosed with EGFR exon 19 deletion, non-small cell lung cancer, with brain metastases and a lot of bone disease. I think her initial diagnosis was about 4 years ago now. And so when she first presented, it was with nearly a cord compression, and she actually went in for surgery. Then they found this EGFR mutation, and she was started on erlotinib. She did reasonably well with it for about a year, but had a lot of challenges with rash management, which she found quite lifestyle altering. So that was really hard for her. She then developed leptomeningeal metastases. And at that point, we didn't yet have osimertinib approved, so weren't able to go to that at that point. She didn't really want to get whole brain radiation. We actually started her on carboplatin and pemetrexed, initially with some bevacizumab also. And she had a really good response. So it kept her leptomeningeal disease at bay, had a good control of her disease, and initially she did well with that. Continued to control disease, but she was gradually having more issues with fatigue and just not tolerating the chemo, and then started having increasing headaches and some lethargy. And we found that she had a significant progression in her brain with more brain metastases, as well as with recurrence of the leptomeningeal. So at that point, and this was about a year and a half ago now, she ended up needing whole brain radiation because of the size of the brain metastases. I do tend to delay whole brain radiation as long as I can, especially in my patients who are younger and older, but especially those who have a driver mutation, just because I've had enough of them who've done well for a number of years that I do worry about the longer-term cognitive loss from the whole brain radiation. And I've had just a couple patients, but I remember them very clearly, who we were able to get their disease really well controlled, but 2 years later, after their whole brain radiation, they started to develop cognitive deficits related to the brain radiation and actually died from that as opposed to their disease. So I'm kind of on the extreme of trying to avoid whole brain radiation. But when you need to, you need to. And so for this patient, about a year and a half ago, she needed it. She got through it, did okay. And then by that point, we had just gotten the approval for osimertinib. And so she was able to start on osimertinib and has continued on that to this day. I just saw her actually on Monday. She looked great. She still has, her hair used to be very, very long. Of course, after whole brain radiation, it's come back shorter, but she looks lovely. She's active. She's, you know, goes to the gym regularly. You wouldn't know she was someone who was sick. So is that going to keep going? I don't know. She's already been on osimertinib a year and a half. We know that the average is less, but they're always outliers. And so right now she's looking like one of those outliers.
Any tolerability issues with osimertinib with her?
Not for her. We do have to watch patients for cardiac toxicity with the drug. It's something we're not used to thinking about with the other EGFR TKIs. So in our practice, we've had one patient who did end up having some issues with cardiomyopathy that we think were drug-related to the osimertinib. So we do get regular electrocardiograms on our patients at baseline after the first 1 to 2 months, sometimes earlier if there's any question, and then like every 3 to 4 months after that. And we will get echocardiograms again at baseline within the first month and then much less frequently if they're not having any symptoms. So we do watch. It's pretty rare, but not zero. There still is some rash. Most people find it pretty tolerable, especially those who've had bad rash issues with erlotinib or gefitinib or afatinib. So otherwise, it's a pretty well-tolerated agent. Most patients who are on it do feel overall like their quality of life is better than when they'd been on the other EGFR TKIs, but it's not completely symptom-free.
How about this lady? How did her experience, particularly in terms of rash and the side effects, compare osimertinib, and she had previously been on erlotinib?
So for her, the rash on erlotinib was much, much worse than what she's dealing with osimertinib. The osimertinib rash for her is pretty negligible, so she's very happy with it.